I'm going to start not reading the Shulchan Aruch first. Just, we'll get to that in a second. Okay, we're talking today about, we're doing Halacha Yud. Okay. We're going to get to the Shulchan Aruch in a second. Let me just first tell you a second about what we're talking about. And we're talking about tuna fish, and whether it need to be made with Hashkach Kavidus. Canned tuna fish. And just a drop of background for a second. Tuna are fished, I don't know what the word for it is, in the ocean. Fished.
It's another word for fish.
They are caught, I don't know what you call them.
Fishes.
Are fished in the ocean. Boats go out for extended amounts of time and catch whole schools of fish. And then they bring those back, frozen, back to processing plants. The guys who bring the fish back only get paid for the...
Is it frozen?
They bring it back frozen. The guys who bring it back only get paid for tuna. So they catch other fish, get caught with it, because you know there's you catch a whole school of tuna. They look for a school of tuna, but other fish, lemaisa out there, can't keep all other fish out. But they're only getting paid for the tuna that they bring back. So by and large, on the boat, they're paying attention to keep only tuna, but
lotavka.
Some get thrown over. Some get sold separately.
They make some money.
When they come back to a tuna processing plant, what they have to take out of the hold has to be tuna. Well, they only get paid for what comes out that's tuna. So if the amount that they sort out of not kosher fish, or other fish, not kosher, other fish that they sort out, some they keep and some they throw out, but they're not in the main hold, basically tuna, not necessarily perfectly, but basically they keep tuna in that place. And then when it gets onto land, then it goes through a more serious sorting to make sure that they just have tuna going. Okay?
No dolphins.
So the question that we're going to talk about is whether you need to have Mashgiach in there to make sure that the fish that are being put into your cans are actually tuna fish. Okay? Should you say you need a Mashgiach there to make sure it's kosher? We'll talk about the board at the end. Should you have Mashgiach there? We'll talk about the boat at the end. Should you be able to get away without having Mashgiach? Okay. So there's been lots and lots written about it for maybe 50 years. Okay. Started with Baruch about 50 years ago. Okay. I'm not going to tell you so much news, but I just report the news. I don't have so much to say about it, but there's lots and lots of it written about it. Now, there's two places where we can talk about it. You'll see towards the end that we could talk about it in Siman Pei Gimel, which is about Hilchos Dagim, and that's where you would have thought that we'd talk about it. But you're also going to see that a big part of the Shaila is right here in our Siman, and that's where we are talking about it. Okay? So, let me give you some names that we're going to be talking about as we go along. The two, I don't know if you know, the most famous people who said that tuna did not need to have Hashkacha Tvidis, were Rav Aaron Cutler and Rav Soloveitchik. Okay? Neither of those people that I know of wrote a tshuva or some kind of explanation for what they did. But three other people wrote, two other people, who Talmidim of Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Shechter and Rav Willard, both of them wrote tshuvas, long articles to explain why they thought Rav Soloveitchik held that it was mutter. Okay, all kinds of reasons why they thought it was mutter. On the other hand, the most famous person to say that it was Osir was Rav Henkin. Okay, Rav Henkin wrote three things. Most people have only two of them. He said the other one is really hard to find, but Baruch Hashem, we dug it up. Okay, Rav Henkin wrote three things as to why it should be Osir. And two people who supported that, who were, gave more backing to what it is, were Ravelsky and Rav Bleich, who wrote... also wrote long, I don't even call them articles of Jews, call them what you want to explain why they thought you do need to have a Shulchan Tweets. Okay, now, there is a Tshuva Ramosh about it. We're going to talk about that at the way end. You'll see where that fits in. Okay, which side he's on. Okay. Before we talk about the so to speak, real issue, or what we consider to be the real issue, I'm going to tell you this. Okay, in these people's writings, you see there's a bunch, I don't remember how many, maybe five or six older issues that they talked about that to them seem to be very much significant, which at this point no one takes too seriously anymore, okay? Okay, first one was, someone mentioned whether the tuna is kosher. Okay, is it actually a kosher fish? Okay, but so to us, we say, of course tuna is a kosher fish. We want to know if he has Mashiach, but of course it's tuna. Okay, well, that's good. Okay, then there's... No, these are not going to explain to you.
You say it's more like a child.
No.
Is it at least there's a consensus that it's kosher?
Now it's yes. Okay. Sure. Okay, then there's a question about this part. This I'll tell you, because this is from Moskowitz. One of the Tariq mitzvahs is that the Rambam brings it, lived like every fish to make sure that it's kosher, to check the fish to make sure they're kosher. So there were those who said it, so it's mitzvah say. Forget, we don't talk about things that the Rambam think are rules about whether you have to check, but they said it's mitzvah say. Okay? So that was a whole tumult about that. The arguments against that were, first of all, is you could eat fish that don't have scales in them. The Gemara says that if a fish used to have scales, or was going to have scales, you could eat it anyhow, which of course is no way to check the scales. You can't check scales if it doesn't have them. And of course it's kosher. And the Rambam, I think it's two mitzvahs later, says there's also a mitzvah to check every animal also for siman. Okay? So you never saw the shechet who stopped when he shechted to see if it has split hooves and chooses cut either, you know. But because it's understood that the mitzvah is when you're not sure, but when you're looking at the thing and you know that the thing is a kosher fish or animal, whatever it is, then you've done it already. The mitzvah is when there's a question about it, or to know the simonim to be able to figure it out. Okay, so that's another question. The other question is, maybe you could be samech on the fact that if the guy went fishing, and in this area, this place where he's fishing, there's no tray fish around, maybe you could be samech, there's a sort of a makor to a Gemara about that, that maybe you could, if there's no kosher fish around, maybe there were those who said, hey, if right of the fish in the thing are kosher, then that was good enough. Okay, there's a story in one of these children's about they dug it. Yeah, most of the fish were kosher, it was okay. Nobody buys that anymore. And then this people said the government keeps an eye on, make sure the fish, and there's one more. And then they even threw in, I don't remember how this cheshbon worked, that maybe if suffering derives of the chumra is only a drabon and dicker rule, maybe somehow that had played a role in it also. Okay, there was lots of to do about that also. Okay, so these are things that we're not going to talk about. Okay,
these are in these chuvas.
All these chuvas. Yeah, everybody's back and forth about all these kind of things. Okay, there are other chuvas that I'm not mentioning. The chuvas that I mentioned are the ones we're going to be talking about. Okay. So, what would and then there's two other side things that are also that are not even so much to the Indian. One was which you talked about, Bishlak, and whether there's a needs Bishri Yisrael. It's a separate question. It's a separate question whether needs Bishri Yisrael. Nothing to do with today's discussion whether needs Bishri Yisrael. That's a separate question. We talked about that. And Stam, whether it needs Hashkacha because the machinery that the cans are cooked in. Could be used for all kinds of other things. In fact, they are used for animal food, for meat, and for all kinds of crayfish, and crabs, and things like that. They're cooked in the can. So it needs hashkacha to make sure the kalim are kosher. Okay, there's a kalim issue also. If those have nothing to do with today's discussion, the bishlakim and the kalim issue, nothing to do with that. That's just a general kashrus question that they're on. Okay. So, the simplest reason why you should need to have a mashgiach there is because, who's telling me that this thing is tuna? It's coming. There's someone who has no nemanis. He's a guy. He doesn't have any nemanis to tell me that food is kosher. He told me that this is a kosher fish. Well, why should I believe him? Okay? People, you have to have nemanis to see that something is kosher. So if I have a potato, I know the potato is kosher. But if I have this thing, who knows what's in there? So he told me that it's tuna. So why should I believe the guy? He has no nemanis. There are rules of who's allowed to tell me that. So that's the simplest reason why. Okay? But that, what I just said to you, that a person has to have nemanis, there's a deeper part which has to do with our dinner. Okay? And this is one of my.
Potatoes. Maybe he injected the chazan. Why are you allowed to eat potato?
I have no reason to think that. Well, look at
it. So you have no reason to think anything. Then
right, but I'm looking at something that I don't know what it is. It's just pieces of flesh. Well, is it from a tuna fish or is it from a catfish? How do I know what's in there? So I'm only getting it because he said to me, this is a tuna fish. Okay, so that's a simple level, why should I believe the guy? He just told me that it's a tuna. Who knows what it is? How do I know what's in it? Okay. Okay, but now, on a deep level, the same point is from our din. Okay, and that's like this. The din says this. Asalikat mehem, karet shechot, as we talked about, the trish chufa, which is related to our din, v'chilek. Okay, what's chilek? It's a kind of fish. T'hainu mine dogen ketanim mu'uravim. It's a kind of tiny, small fish that are all mixed together with nei, and the reason why you're not allowed to eat them is because with nei shedogun tenei mis'arvim imayim, ve'en yachal hafridam. Because when you catch these fish, they come together with other fish that are not kosher, and there's no way to separate them out. Okay, and the reason why
is that the hainu referring only to chilek? Is there should be a condom after
tshuva, or after tshuva? Yes, yes, you put a condom after tshuva. Yes, this is a description of chilek, okay, of chilek, and the reason is because the way Rashi says it, the Shach brings it down. Rashi says in the Gemara, chilek, when we catch them, whatever time in their life that they catch them, don't have scales on them. Okay, so there's no way for a regular person to know which one is the chilek and which one is not. It's a small fish. Okay, it's a small fish. And it looks like a kosher fish. Everybody looks at it and says, oh yeah, I know that fish. They recognize it as a kosher fish. But there's other fish that get caught with it, other tray fish that get caught with it that look similar. And you can't tell by the scales because they don't have scales at this part of their life. So they're all mixed together. So you have basically, you look at this big bucket full of fish. It looks like kosher fish. But there's some tray fish mixed into it. Rashi says, whether everyone agrees, I don't know, but Rashi says 1 in 1,000 are mixed in of tray fish. And therefore, it's hard to catch them, and they're very small. It's hard to tell which one is which, and they all look basically the same. So, you know how to eat them. Okay? We're going to talk about that in a second. It's understood that the Mishnah here is not giving advice. I'm not sure where they come from, but everyone who talks about this understands, excuse me, the chilek is a Isser to eat chilek, not just advice not to eat chilek. Okay? Now, it's not just saying to you, lefi the regular rules, you have to be worried, maybe the straight into the it sounds like it's a gzera that you're not allowed to eat chilek. Like all the other things in these Mishnahs. Okay? What do you say? Oh, because if you got it from a yid, and he told you this is all chilek, then you'd be okay. If someone knew that it was, we'll see in a second if he could tell you, if you had
chilek, and we need to know the world. So what can you find from yourself?
Because if the yid kept you, I'm giving you only chilek. If he knew that he was giving you just chilek, then you're okay. If he was able to tell you that, oh, I know this is only chilek, you don't know what it is. You can't tell. You look at the natural. You'll see in a second. So it means that regular people can't tell. You'll see in a second that there are people who can tell the difference. Okay, so if I get it from someone who has nemanis is two things. Nemanis means this: he's a person who you're allowed to believe, and nemanis means he's a person who knows the information. When he tells me, whoops, he knows what he's talking about. So the guy who's telling me would have nemanis. I can believe him. Okay, so
something doesn't have scales now, but he's going to have it.
Yes. If it's a type of fish that at 1 year old it has no scales, but at 2 years old it has scales, it's a kosher. You're allowed to eat it.
There's a chakira what simanim are, either the mefarer,
right,
or the... So this proves...
Of course. It's a mefarer shigemar. Yes. Okay. So the... Okay. So that's a reason we say is, if we have a fish that there are not kosher fish mixed into it, so it's not just a question of should we believe the guy? We can't believe the guy because he has no nemonis, but we can't believe him because Chazal have a specific zera not to eat chilek, okay? To eat fish when you can't tell whether they're kosher or trade. I can't tell my can whether it's a tuna or something else. I have no idea what's in there. We're just fish fillets in there. I can't tell what it is. So it's a special iser to eat chilek, to eat these kind of fish. Okay, so it's not just a matter of why should I believe the guy, but it seems like here's our din, it's a mishnah that you're not allowed to eat. Chilek. Okay, it's a special iser. Okay, that word, that din is not simply gimel. That's what I'm talking about over here. Okay, the din of chilek is over here. It's with all the rest of the din of kufri dalet from the second paragraph of Avodah Zarah, things that the chum has. Okay, so Rav Shechter said three reasons why.
What's the matzias when they pull up to them? What do they have?
I think we talked about it. Other fish come in with it. A certain amount. Small amount of other fish.
A small
amount, yes. But it's more than come up with chilek. It actually doesn't look like you get 1 in 1,000
tray
fish.
That's really a container with a whole bunch of fish. Sure, it's already sorted, it's already separated, and you're just getting a can now. So like, how does Murabit split? At this point, it's not Murabit anymore.
So it came up. So when the guy is telling you chilek, he's also telling you don't give you chilek.
No, but he was saying there's a... You can see it's in the realm. You can't tell us what. Right? You're
not throwing a big pile of fish into a grinder.
In the chilek case or in the tuna fish?
No, it's already been separated.
It's one by one. They come up.
They take all the fish off the boat and they put them into a grinder, basically. They put them into the can, and they put them into your can.
They're being mafia them, aren't they?
Be mocking them what?
They have to make sure it's only tuna.
They make sure it's only tuna.
So that's, you're trusting him. That's the question. Were you trusting him to tell you? The guy who said to you, I'm giving you chiyak, is also telling you, I'm giving you just chiyak.
No, it's hard to do with any yachal afidah. Here, it's big fish.
Okay, you'll tell me, I'm not sure if what you're saying is one of the answers. I'll tell you three answers, Rosh Hashanah. You tell me if you like, if one of them is what you say. Okay, the first is like this. He says, I just told you that the Shach says that the, it comes from Rashi, that chilek don't have scales. Okay, when you when you're buying chiluk, they don't have scales. At that point in their life, they don't have scales. So the Shach says chiluk, the reason why Chacham asked chiluk is because they don't have scales, and they're tiny fish. So in a small fish, it's really hard to tell. You know, the fish have a certain way you look at it, you could tell which is a chiluk. Obviously, people could tell, that's how they knew, basically, that it was a kosher fish. But it wasn't easy to tell the subtle differences between one and another when they were very small fish. Think about fish like the size of like sardines, okay? They're really small. If a sardine and another fish that was like it were close to each other, it's hard to tell because they're so small, it's hard to tell the difference between them. So the whole Isser is specific. It may even be in the Shach itself. The whole Isser is specific for fish that have no scales and that are very small that are hard to tell. He says, no one has that. That's what Chacham answered. Don't eat small fish that you can't tell if they have scales. And they're all mixed together. Don't eat those things. He said, but Chazal didn't ask you to not eat big fish. And didn't ask you to not eat fish that have scales in them. Okay, so, but is it an Israel Chilik? He says, no, there's no Israel Chilik. The Israel that are wanting to eat is on a specific case. You have really small fish, and they're hard to separate from each other. So we might say, the suggestion that it should also be some Chilik is saying, well, just like the Asher, we should ask it also. But it's not the Xerel Chilik. The Xerel Chilik is on a very specific case, which is really hard to tell. That's what Chazal Asher. They didn't ask it in our kind of a case, which is not the kind of fish at all. We're not the same fish. Okay? 2 hour big fish, they're like this, They're big fish.
That doesn't answer the general problem.
I know, I'm talking about just this question. Is it chiluk? Right, that's true. The first two answers he gives are just answering the chiluk question. Okay? The third is going to answer both questions. Okay? Second answer is, the Shulchan Aruch says, it's also from the Rashi also, that when you fish for chiluk, you always get trey fish with him. Okay? It always comes up. It always happens. Okay? It's every time you fish them, it always comes to them. Okay? So, that is to say, it's an extension, it's a variation of the rule that burial or betela. Okay, it's a rule. You're sitting here with fish. There's a thousand. It's the echoes that you hear of Rashi when he says it's one in a thousand. Is a filu be'elof le'bottle. Is that if there's one whole fish into there, one fish can't be bottle. Okay, so it's a type. The Israel chilek is a variation of the rule that a burial can't be bottle. There's one whole fish in there, that fish can't be bottle. Okay, so when we're talking about that kind of a case, we're talking about all the fish in front of us in ways that they can't be bottle, that's when we would say chilek is also. Okay, but when we're talking about our kind of case, we're talking about grandma fish. Okay? We're not talking about fish that we're talking about those type of situations with the shadows of berries anymore. So then this Israel chilek wouldn't apply.
Are you allowed to grind up the
chiluk? No, you're not allowed to. Right. But the question is, we're trying to figure out, is that Isra Chazal said don't eat chiluk, is that applying to us? Okay, now, Rav Shechter's third answer is, at the face value, the strongest answer. Okay, and this is going to talk about both cases. Okay, and that is like this. The Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, remember I told you, the Mishnah says, I think the Mishnah is Lamed Hay, if I remember correctly, this is Lamed Dalet. The Mishnah says, you're not allowed to chilek, okay? But look what the Gemara says. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda ben Gamliel, I remember Rishon Ruchanan, Chanina ben Gamliel, okay? Av chilek uman mutter. Not only is a certain other thing mutter, but also chilek from an uman is mutter, okay? What does that mean, chilek from an uman? You're buying chilek. Remember, the Mishnah says you're not allowed to buy chilek from someone, from a guy. You're not allowed to buy it from him. But if you're buying from an uman, you're allowed to buy it. And Rashi says, why are you allowed to buy it from him? Kiven the uman hu baki b'davar, since he's an uman, and he could tell which is the chilek and which is the not chilek. Only regular people can't tell the difference. Okay, but the uman, he knows fish, he knows the difference, and the chilek, the other fish mixed into the chilek, the saluntis is another word for chilek. Okay, it's the Goran's word later on for chilek. Since the other fish mixed into it, it ruins the taste of the chilek. I'm assuming it means ruins the taste. I'm not sure. This is makakale lesulantis. I'm assuming that means the taste. And therefore, morale lekuli arve, he's going to mess up his whole boatload worth of stuff. So therefore, from the uman, you know that this uman is gonna separate out the not kosher fish from there. So chilek shel uman, you are allowed to buy. Okay, so with that description of a chilek shel uman, so even though there's an issur d'rabanan to eat chilek, that's only if you're just buying from a Joe in the street. But if you're buying from an uman, then you're allowed to buy it. Okay, so that's telling us, not only is it telling us that there's no issur chilek, but we can even believe a guy. Our original question, which is, but how can you just believe the guy? So, and in fact, it sounds like an exact description of what goes on by tuna. Okay, the tuna, they're very mocked with to only put tuna into the can, to the point even that there's different species of tuna, and they're very marked within the species. Okay, Rishak likes to say with the story, he said that a mashgiach, the one who was there once, I think he was a mashgiach, Tmidi Run, was there, and they had already sorted out the fish. It goes through a number of sorts, and he had sorted out the fish, and the mashgiach, just to see what would happen, took one type of the fish, bluefin, and stuck them to the yellowtails, and it took one, they were tunas, but the fin over here had they had sorted them by types of tuna, and he took one from one time, just threw it to the other, when no one was looking, he threw it to the other bin, okay? And a minute later, somebody caught it, and they went crazy. They couldn't believe that such a thing had happened. How did we miss one? That one fish, no, they didn't think it jumped. Well, they didn't realize the Mashiach did. They thought that they missed it. They couldn't believe it. And the people who go for Hashgacha to meet this say that they never ever see trayfish. Okay? It's not like they stand there and they go, oh my gosh, they're throwing out all the trayfish. Nothing to it. They just stand there because there are those many, I told you, many hold the hazard. Chovisor, right. They never saw any horses. Right? Nobody ever tried to sneak a horse in at the Chovisor run, so they never saw someone try to get a trayfish into there. The Mashiach stands there because that's what they hold you have to do. I told you, many prominent people hold that you have to do that. You need a Mashiach there, and the Mashiach watches, but the Mashiach never caught anything. Okay? Because they're Shalomon. The people are very careful to make sure they do it. So it's interesting. The Beis Yosef says, he says, I wonder why nobody brings this in a Mashiach Shalomon. None of the place can bring it. It's not brought in. I don't think it's in the Ram. It's not in the Torah. Taka wonders why. He says, there's no question, it's poshut, that that's the din. It's not a question that that's the din, that chir shum is voter, it's a fair shagamar.
You bring it down from Shekhi's
chir, it's to the point that Rabbi says, I'm going to tell you the second one, I'll just argue. He says, you know, it's not like if Henkin didn't know the Gemara on the page beforehand. He says, you know, it's like too obvious to say, oh, he missed it. On the page before it says, the chir shum is voter.
Does it bring it
down? It's just, yeah, no, it's not. He does not bring a shofar. He doesn't bring a zipper. He's pushing that to them. Of course, that's it. Okay. So I'm telling you, Rabbi, he says it can't be like, you know, we're not, you know, guys who only know one page. And, you know, he says, Mom says the Gemara before it. He says, you know, they didn't miss it. Okay. Don't be worried that they missed it. Okay. So
story. So I'm about to
tell you. Don't be patient. Okay. So. So Rablach gives two reasons. Why he says there's no raya from Chiluk Shalomah. Okay? No raya that's mutter from Chiluk Shalomah. He says, one is like this. He says, you remember I told you that the Chiluk, everybody looks at it and they could tell that it's a kosher fish. What I mean is, it doesn't have scales. It's not even picked up a fish. We don't know what it is. We look for the scales and we decide it was kosher. The way people eat chilek is because they recognize it. It looks like a kosher fish. Okay? Now, I don't recognize it. They all look the same to me.
Is there an English name for chilek? Do we know what it is?
No. What?
It's a halibut.
No, I don't know what it is. Okay, So the people looked at the fish. They recognized that it was a kosher fish. He said, so by all rights, Rabbi says, by all rights, the people should be allowed to eat it. Okay? There's no reason why, if you look at a fish and you can tell it's a kosher fish, by all rights you should be able to eat it. He says, so it's all, the reason why you're not allowed to eat it, all of that reason why you're not allowed to eat it is because of an issur d'rabbanan. Okay, the Chacham will be extra machmir to say, don't eat this fish, because once in a blue moon there's such a thing that the treifun falls into there. But everybody looks at it, you look at it and you can tell that it's kosher, so what's the problem? Okay, well, I'm, it's not exactly, but like I said before, should I worry that maybe they stuck something trafe into my potato? It's like a far out chashash. I looked at it, it's a potato. Okay, I'm allowed to eat it. Okay. He says, so the whole thing's a far out chashash. So he says, hey, mamru, hey, mamru. When it's such a vaita chashash, Chazal, I said you not eat chilek, I just vaita chashash to not eat it. So they also said, if it's a chilek shalom, you're okay. He says, so that's only true when you're talking about something like chilek, which, remember, I told you all the reasons why chilek is a not such a ride that it's also right, because it's such a big chumah tonight, the chilek, that's why I need chilek shalomun. But if you had a more serious concern, if you had a more traditional, you have a piece of fish, you have no clue whether it's kosher or not, you're looking at a can of fish, the tuna fish doesn't look anything, you have no idea what kind of fish it is, then who said that you're allowed to believe an uman for that case? Okay, or you only have to believe the uman because of the whole weakness of the isra in the first place, that's why you're allowed to believe the uman. Okay? What's
I heard such a phrase called dak chotuch.
Yeah.
Does that come from the din of
chiluk? Yeah, it connected to chiluk. We'll come to that later. Okay? That's the simple version of this. We'll come to that in a second. Okay? Okay? Second thing is, Okay, the second thing is, Rabbi has a different variation. He says, you remember we talked about, and we're going to talk more in a second about it, a couple weeks ago, about the rule of Umanara Nafshe, which we're going to talk about in a minute about that. And over there, we trust someone who's not Jewish, he doesn't have their manas, but here we give him their manas because we say he's afraid of losing his business. It'll ruin his business if he's caught cheating. So Rabbi says, he says, that's usually those rules of believing in Uman, is should we believe you today? Because if you're lying, down the road, your customers will walk away from you. They're not going to walk away from you today, but down the road, if you keep giving them, you know, inferior merchandise or tricking them, eventually you're going to lose customers. He says, that's all true by regular Uman Amar Nafshe, and that's what, but, and for that, he says, you would not be believed. We'll see why in a second. Uman would not be believed. But Chilek is a special case, because you remember Rashi says is, it ruins the fish themselves. Okay, so Baruch says the fish the guy is selling you today is going to be ruined, and so it's not just that I'm worried about my future sales. I'm ruined what I have right now. Okay, the fish in my bucket right now are going to be ruined. From Uman are going to be ruined if he doesn't get out the trafe ones. So really, he has a hakpada, a today hakpada, not a future hakpada. So to believe a guy about a future, meaning if he tricks me today about tuna, then if he let's say he put cash register instead of tuna. So down the road, he'll lose customers when people realize that he's cheating. They'll lose customers. It won't taste as good. He'll lose customers. But this guy has a reason to be believed because he right now will ruin the fish that's in his container right now. So that's the reason why the chiluk shel uman is believed, but a regular uman would not be believed for other cases. Okay. So
it can't be that terrible because everybody would do it, not just an uman.
No, right? I don't. I have a feeling that other people don't know how to do it. Okay, the uman could tell.
Not fish, you know, except the uman. It's not that.
Rashi says the Uman could tell, most people can't tell the difference. That's why he came in the first place.
It's supposed to be a great lower, but it can't be so terrible.
So now like this. So, Rav Leich is talking about why there's no raya from the Din Chiluk Shel Uman, but Rav Shachter says, he thinks there is a raya. He says, Chiluk Shel Uman, the Gemara said, you're allowed to eat it, okay? So he thinks it's a raya. He says, but forget about whether it's a raya from that case. He says, but there's such a rule. Okay, there is such a rule that Uman Lamar Nafshe. So, what's your problem? He looks at the Gemara, he says, the Gemara is saying it about Chilek. He says, but it's a general rule. You think maybe there's no riot from here? Maybe there's a riot, maybe there's not a riot. He says, but there's a regular rule. Okay, there's a regular rule that Uman Lamar Nafshe. Okay, an Uman is allowed to, if an Uman who's a guy tells us something, then we believe him. We talked about this. Okay, so what? People argue back about the general rule. What about the general rule that Uman Lamar Nafshe? They argue back for the Nebuda. Okay, we mentioned this Nebuda back when we talked about that, which is like this. Nebuda says, the only time we say Uman Lamar Nafshe, the only time he has the manas is when it's coming to say that he didn't specifically cheat me. He didn't specifically mix in treif. An Uman wouldn't do that. An Uman would learn Lamar Nafshe to specifically dilute, let's say in the case of pomegranate wine. He wouldn't dilute pomegranate wine with grape wine just to trick me because he's afraid of Uman Lamar, because he's afraid of losing business down the road. But if the thing, it's just a question, is it kosher or is it treif? He would tell us, he would not tell me the truth, even though he might lose business down the road. But to be kosher that he would actively cheat me to you know, mix things in on purpose, that's the only case we say Uman Lamar Nafshe. And the Mela over here, where it's not a matter of him actively cheating me, the question is how carefully is he about sorting out the bad ones? So then they say, from the Yudhi would say that you would not say Uman Lamar Nafshe. That's what they want to argue. It's not clear if we really pass it to the Nebuda. I mean, the truth is, Nebuda's whole truth is to say is, I'm arguing of Ram. That's the theme of the truth is, the Magen Avraham said this thing and I don't agree with him. Okay, so whether he says this or not, I'm not sure. Okay, now. Okay. I'll tell you one of the things. Rav Henkin says, a reason not to say Uman Lamar Nafshe is because we saw people said like this back then also, we only say Uman Lamar Nafshe if the person has a chance of being caught. He'll be caught, then he's going to lose business and there he's afraid. Rav Henkin says, there's no way anybody's going to know. He says, if you put in some other fish, no one will tell the difference. He says, you could maybe do a chemical test on it. I think, if I remember, it was in Hebrew letters, a chemical analysis. Okay, you could do a test on it and figure out which fish exactly it is. You'll run DNA, you didn't have DNA test. We'll run a DNA test to figure it out. He says, but no one's going to do that. He says, so Lamai said, the guy has no fear of being caught. And therefore, he said, don't say Uman Lamar Nafshe. Okay.
Okay.
That, I wondered about that. Won't people, if you picked up a can and it tasted like catfish, however, you wouldn't bite. I'm not sure why it doesn't. I don't know why that doesn't. Why it doesn't say that. He says there's no way to tell. You never catch the guy.
What about the plant? You know, if he caught the plant,
he... You mean somebody who's in the factory would notice what he's doing? Okay, so you know, I have to tell you, I'm not sure that his what he's talking about is exactly our situation. I'm not sure because he also talks about Ranger also talks about that that we can only say Uman Lamarnafshe when there's a chashash, is a little bit treif mix in. But here it could be all treif. As if there was a possibility that the can could be completely filled with catfish. Like the whole factory is filled with catfish. Okay? Which to us sounds like off the wall. I mean, we can't believe, you know, we think that they might fish for tuna and catch some other things also. We don't believe they're fishing for catfish. Yeah? So I'm not sure that
we're focusing on the can, or should we be focusing on the step before the can? I don't understand.
What do you mean?
Say, we're talking about, like, this kid's like, you get the can of fish, you can't recognize it. But the point is, at the factory, before it gets into the can. That's
but you're not eating the factory. You're eating the can.
You're eating anything, let's say cholesterol, right? You're looking at, when you get the bottle, we're not worried about what's in the bottle.
Well, the cholesterol is the same thing. You have a bottle, you want to, is this cow's milk, is it horse's milk?
You're supposed to go and you send me the bottle, that this is really cholesterol. But you're going back, you have to go back to the plant. I don't know what the can.
So if you need
say, to... when Lemur Theory sends their bottles out to everyone, and I have a shock on it, but who says that this bottle... Before, so you can't recognize it. You can still have a bottle. You're going back into the plant.
So Mashkiach was at the plant. Someone's at the plant.
No, that's what I'm saying. So the whole question of the Amanus is not based on the can. It's based on what's going on in the plant.
But there's nobody there at the plant. The guy at the plant
is... The Amanus, I know, whatever.
Okay, fine. We're getting there. We're almost done. Okay, we're getting there. We're not almost done, but we're getting there. Okay, so now we're going to...
tell what it is. Yeah, the plant because...
Okay, we move now to the part that's in Simpe Gimel. Okay, the Gemara says you could buy Kirvi Dugim from a Mumcha. Okay, the Gemara says you could buy Kirvi Dugim, okay, Kishpitz from a fish. The Gemara talks about eggs also. A similar thing about buying eggs. The point is you don't know what it is. Okay, Kirvi Dugim, just a big blob of, you can imagine what fish. Kishkas look like, yeah, I guess. And the Gemara says you could buy it from a mumcha. You buy it from a mumcha. So there's a machlokes whether that Gemara is talking about a yid or guy. Okay, when it says you could buy it from a mumcha, that just means to say is he tells you it's coming from it's kosher fish, which is having a manas, or is it a question is can you even buy it from a guy? Okay, that when it says you could buy it from a mumcha, it means you can even buy it from a guy. Okay, there are other. So the Mechavis is like this in Simen Pei Gimel. Kirvei Dagim, Enim Kachmel Mumcha. Okay, that's the Gemara. Okay, the Gemara says you can buy from Mumcha. Okay, the Gemara has lots of details to what it says here. And then it's like this. El and Cain Armelay Israeli, unless the Yid, I'm reading the
Aleph.
What?
Live with an Aleph?
I'm sorry, to the Bob. Yes, you're right. Thank you. Okay. El and Cain Armelay Israeli, unless the Yid says to him, I'm skip the bracket. How much? Anim alachdim with yismu daltar. Okay, you can't buy it from a mumcha unless the guy who sells it to you tells you that I bought it from a kosher fish. Okay, but if he just tells you that these are kosher, he comes to you and he says, you know, the guy opens up his bag and says, "You want to buy from kosher?" Can't be done. And the other day, what kind of fish it is? Then you don't believe him. Okay, unless he has his particular cheskes kashrus. Okay, so the mechaber says. That this Gemara, the Kirvi Dagim in Kachma al Mumcha, is talking about a Yid. Okay? But the Ramah sticks in that those words in brackets are from the Ramah. Okay? Because it's a Machlokes, how to understand the Gemara. That this Gemara is even talking about a guy. Okay?
Without the Ramah, you're saying that normally you can be Samech on somebody who's not because of the
Kashrus? Right. If he also identifies which fish he got it from.
What's the difference between a guy and a Jew who's not because of the Kashrus?
Because the Yid has inherent. Nemanis. He inherently, knowing nothing, if he walked into shul, you give him shlishi. If the guy walked into shul, you won't give him shlishi. You know what I mean? He's in the tribe. I'm saying he at least has a possibility of nemanis. The guy is starting off automatically knowing nemanis. We have to try to say, or maybe we're trying to convince us that he has nemanis because he's an uman. But he inherently has no nemanis. And the fakir inherently does have nemanis. So over here, so the Ramah says that even the Gemara that said, Kiri Dagan in Nikachim Velmei Mumcha, is talking about, and this, a similar thing by eggs also. Eggs from, you don't know which bird it's from. I mean, it's not a chicken egg. It's some other kind of egg. You don't know which bird it's from. So the Ramah says that we believe even a guy. Most go along with that Ramah means that that's true. But the Taz says the case, this case over here is a very, very specific case. Okay, and it's talking about a case, we don't need to know what it is, it's talking about a case where there are other halachos that the thing in front of you is from kosher fish. Okay, it's not just that he told you it's a kosher fish, but there are other reasons to believe that what's in front of you is a kosher fish. And because of those other halachos, that's why you can believe the person that it is. But if he's not just telling you, even if he's a mumchah and he's telling you, you can't believe him. Okay, that's what he says. The shachler is not like that. The simple ring Rama says you could buy from a mumcha even if he's good. That's what it says like that, okay? So now, I don't know if you would expect this, you didn't expect that Rav Henkin says that the Taz is right. Okay, the Taz is right that you have to have halachos in order to say that it's true. But a stam, a guy who's a mumcha walks in and says to you, you're not allowed to believe you. Like I've been telling you this whole time, there's no umal maranashi in these kind of cases. And Rav Shechter would say, what do you mean? Look what the Rama says, look what the Shach says, that if he's a mumcha, you believe the guy. You know why that's true? Of course we know why that's true, because umal maranafshi, because I've been telling you, you've been listening for the past half an hour, that umal maranafshi, if he tells you that. So we had it before him in general senses, we had it by chiluk shel umman, and we have it here by kirei dogim, okay, so we have it all by the same kind of stuff, okay? Rav Henkin has an extra twist to it, just for the curiosity of it. He picks on, this is exactly the same way, I'm saying it this way. He picks on why it took that kirei dogim. Okay, David was hinting at this before. Kirei dogim doesn't seem like the kind of thing that most people are looking to buy. Kirei dogim fish kishkas. He says the reason is because kirei dogim and eggs have fallen the rules of called the parish. Okay, there's the item, the bird or the fish, and now these things were peerish in them, so we could say called the parish. He says but buying the actual fish itself, the fish fillets, okay, the pieces of fish, that falls under the rules of kol kavua. Not exactly, I'll tell you, it's a variation of the word of kol kavua, and therefore, there's no such rule, there's no way to believe a person in that kind of a case, okay? So he's thinking, okay, I'll tell you afterwards, it's not really kol kavua, I'll tell you afterwards, very interesting what he says, okay, afterwards. Okay, anyhow, so it's in a way, it comes out, and it sounds funny, we've been talking back and forth, should we say umar or not, should we say chich shalom, is it apply or doesn't apply, and in a sense, it's coming out to being a machlekes you had to learn this in Simpe Gimel, which actually talking about essentially of our case, kirei dogim. Okay, now again, Rav Henkin says it's special to kishkas, but I don't think most people see it that way. Kirei dogim, pieces of fish you can buy from a mumcha. The Rama says, and even if the mumcha is a guy, so that sounds like all the people who said it, you're allowed to buy. If there's an uman standing behind it, then you're allowed to buy it. And the Taz is saying not like that. Okay, so we're sort of winding down that it seems to be machlekes right here in Simpe Gimel, over there in Simpe Gimel, but had unseen that thing. Okay. So, with that in mind, we're winding down from this, but in that in mind, now I'm going to tell you what Ramosha says. Okay? Most people...
Is it come out, then, as a machloikis, whether you can buy a stam fish that's cut up, but that's iman, does that come out from here that if
there's an uman telling you, not if it's stam fish, no, if there's an uman telling you...
It's from a guy in the street, but there's reasons that it comes from a company factory, I don't know, yes, it comes from an uman, and you say, this is a cod, it's a whatever, it's a different kind of fish, and it comes from an uman.
Yes.
Makilim, could accept it.
Yes. I'm going to get to that in a second. Yes, I'm going to talk about that in 1 second. But yes, that's correct. So now, Ramosha, there's a true Ramosha about eating tuna. And I think it says tuna in it. And the tshuva says you have to have mashgiach. And everybody says, people say over, that Ramosha says that you have to have mashgiach to eat for tuna. Okay? I told you at the beginning a bunch of names of people who said, with the Rasa, you need a mashgiach to eat, you don't need one. And Ramosha is the one who's one of the people who's quoted as saying that's Rasa. And there's a specific tshuva in Chelek Gimel. So let's look at the tshuva. Okay? Just keep in mind what you just saw over here. Okay? And now, let's look at the tshuva. Okay? In the tshuva, Ramosha says you need a mashgiach. But it says like this. Avokash Shaleka Shumsim Bedagim. I don't know why it says kid. I think it was kid. I don't think that is what it actually says, and not bidagim. But anyhow, if you have just dagim mukulafim, they have no skin on them, and you can't see the scales on them, and you're only buying it because the guy told you. He said he has no nemanis, but look at the words that he says. Kishar lo yomer shemakim mamish shehu dag pointy, unless he tells you that is coming from a specific fish. Okay? Well, when he tells you it comes from a specific fish, that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Elkin Armaloi, I took them out midug tahar. Okay? So Ramosha says, he has to tell you this comes from Doug Pointy. He says it again afterwards. He says, Ain Mismachazer, don't trust the Goyim. Why? If there's no seam on him, Elkin Yarmah, the Makibatrius, Ain Shu Doug Pointy. Okay? So Rambam says, you need to have, you have to have mashgiach. And he talks afterward about how the mashgiach has to do it, and maybe he has to see every fish, maybe he doesn't have to see every fish, but you have to have mashgiach there, unless they tell you that they got it from Doug Pliny. Okay, well, what is that? Those words are coming out of the Din Sim Pei Gimel, which was talking about fish. And it says over there, if the Rambam says, if a guy tells you that he got it from a specific fish, then you're a mumcha, then you're allowed to believe him. So I asked this to some people who should know, who said it. Yeah, they think Ramosha would have said, in our tuna seems to be where Ramosha would be mutter without a mashgiach to midi. Because I don't know what to tell you. I mean, Ramosha is in the street, people say Ramosha, you need mashgiach to midi. And again, this tshuva says, in the end...
Seeing a label that says 100% tuna is the same thing as a fisherman telling you...
No, it's not that the label proves it to us. But we know what goes into the people who make tuna. We know that when they put it into the tuna, we know how much they put into it, how much of umnus goes into that to make sure it's only tuna into there. It's not the label per se, but we just know what's in there. So
why isn't that like him saying it's all from mintar?
He's not saying it's from mintar. He's saying it's specific mint. If he's saying it's a specific mint,
they're not saying that.
They're saying it's from tuna. Yeah. Tuna is a mint. They're talking about something. I mean, it's what Ramesh holds, I don't know to tell you. It's true.
That's something held in Ramesh. That was us, right?
Yeah, but when you look at the printed tshuva, so that's, I'm stuck here because you look at the printed tshuva. Ramesh says it. You need to have mashgiach there, unless certainly happens. But that is exactly what happens. So that's I'm stuck here. What to say about that? Okay. So now, two other things to say. Okay, the first thing is like this. We've been talking for this whole time about tuna fish, but like Yossi just said a second ago, it's not a rule that's specific to tuna. Really, it's a question of should we be samach on uman or marinashi? Should we be samach that the uman who's careful to pick out only a certain kind of fish, that because that gives him the manas, even though he's not a yid, or do we not believe him? Okay, and then all these variations of the same point. So if it's true that you could be makel, then you can make about other things also. So the hashgachos who accept that are making on lots of fish type items, not just on tuna fish, on all kinds of items. Okay, and those are machmer, of course, are machmer on all those items. Okay, so I'm just mentioning the fact because tuna is the poster child for the shaila. Okay, but tuna has a huge myla. The companies are super makbid that only tuna should get into the can. Okay, they're really very strong umdim to make sure the only tuna gets into the can. The kulas say we don't have to have mashgiach tmidi. It's been stretched to all kinds of other cases. Okay, stretch the cases where higher. You guys, oh yeah, we're very careful. We only put this kind of fish into it. Fine, you don't have to have mashgiach tmidi. Okay, you have to make sure if you want to be makel that in fact the guy really has akpada mitame mischari, or Shepta would say, you know, for business reasons to make sure that the only thing that gets into there is the kind of fish that you want. What I mean is that evaluation has to be done seriously. You can't. There's plenty of reason to think that you shouldn't believe the guy that what's in there is kosher fish. So you have to. It has to be that you have real conviction that he's being extra machmir.
Why do the companies more careful than others?
It's just the culture. It's just what they do.
The
plane,
like
it could be, but it's a culture that they're careful about that. It's just how they do their business. In the tuna business, the guys are very careful about it. I'm culture like as in you know where the country comes from. Just
like talking is not much of a difference between different types. You said right.
So the question is, if you buy fillets, okay, fillet fish, you buy fillet fish, and you walk into the store and you think it's this fish. I walked into a place, okay, this is actually on the hashgacha, not on the hashgacha, thank you, not ours, thank you, thankfully. And I said to myself, where are the simon? There's no anything. There was no simon, there was no hashgacha, there was nothing. There was a box full of frozen fish, fillets. So he says to me, well, because I could recognize that it's, I forgot which kosher fish it is. I can recognize it. I don't even need simon. I can tell myself that this is a kosher fish. I said, how on earth can you tell that what the fillet is, what fish it comes from? You can't tell anything, you know? And he was swearing me up and down what it was. Okay. So wait, let me finish my story. He was swearing me up and down. He can recognize the fish. Okay. Anyhow, a little bit later, we turned the box over, and I said it was a different fish. It was kosher fish, wasn't it? So the guy was, he was, mom, she was swearing up and down that he's much gifted. Yeah, right. What? No, he's all like dope. I mean, what can I tell you? I'm telling you that. So you have to make sure that it's for real that there's a hakpada. Okay,
but it was for real.
So it's for real. What?
It is for real.
That in some places the people are not doing.
Apparently, that's across the board.
I don't think that's okay. It has to be. It's a decision at a place that they all the extra mark. Well, okay,
I've heard knowledge of that. Yeah, go to fish places. This fish is that fish, and they change, and it tastes similar.
No, not tuna. The tuna is an extreme example. Yeah. Okay, so one more thing is, and that is like this, and this is.
But what about like salmon, like the color of salmon?
That's not for today's discussion. Yeah, then you have a salmon. You look at it.
I heard that they could insert.
Not today's discussion. I'll tell you later. Okay, so
there's a Makil agree to that. I wanted to get an answer to this question. Makil agree to that. to the salmon?
Yeah, it's a simon on it. That the
shachrar. No, it's not makilu machmir.
Yes, the Beis Yosef says he talks about fish roe. It's in the same simon about fish roe that you can have when it has a certain color, and they're medamata. Okay, not for tiri. There's one last thing, and that is even for the people. This shaila is even for the people who have a mashgiach tamidi, and that is, as people guess at the beginning, the mashgiach tamidi starts in the factory. Okay. It's pretty rare that someone sends tuna, that they send a mashgiach tamidi onto the boat. Not other, for other things they do. There are people actually, the guys on the boat for weeks at a time. But, and so the question is, I'm going to tell you, just give me a second, I'm only having half a page left. And that is like this. I told you that their fish get caught in the boat, a little bit of sorting goes on in the boat, and then the fish are frozen. Okay, what I forgot to tell you was that the fish are frozen in salt water. Okay, so, if there are tray fish in the hold, okay, so we have a hold with tons, that's not a guzma, like tons of fish into them, some of them are kosher, some of them are tray. So is there a problem with kavush? Is there a problem with kavush that they sit there for days on end?
It's frozen in a block?
It's frozen in a block?
No, it's not frozen in a block. No, it's just floating around in a...
It's frozen
in a... Okay. The word frozen is a little strong. I don't think it's frozen as in a block frozen. Okay, it's going to be pumped out. It's in a... deep free, deeply refrigerated. No, it's not a block of ice. No. In
33 degrees.
Whatever it is. I don't know what salt water melts. I don't know what that freezes. It's a liquid. No, it's in a liquid. They're all in a liquid, and they sit in a liquid for more than 24 hours. Okay? So, is there a problem that the fish are covered together? Now, again, they sort out a certain amount, they pull it out, but not all. So, that means this. Should you say that if you were... So this is not a question of... Do I know which is a kosher fish? I'm going to figure out later on if it's a kosher fish. But this is more like a hashkacha kind of question. How will I make sure that there isn't going to be a problem with kavush? So shall I have to send the mashgiach? We'll think of some way to do this to make sure there's no kavush. So, Chaim Goldberg told me, Chaim Goldberg takes your fish for the OU. He looked into it, and he said that it's way less than 1% of the bycatch is safe. And there's a person who wrote an article in the Journal of Muncie called Ari Yisrael. This is about 10 years ago. And this guy, he said, his name is Moskowitz, maybe related to you. He said, it's been 2 years, okay, studying this. Okay, and he has the article, you wouldn't believe it, pages and pages of every single kind of bycatch that comes along with tuna. And how much percent, like how much of each one of them that he tends to find, and which one of them is a kosher. And if you read it, you find out that almost everything that gets caught along with it is kosher. Okay? Almost everything that gets caught is kosher. An occasional tray fish. Rabbi Goldberg's explained to me, I lost it, of which kind of fishing, I have it in my notes someplace, which kind of fishing catches more tray from which catches less tray. Okay? There's different styles of fishing. I did not read every word in this person's article. I did not read every word in this guy's article, but my feeling from it that he and Rabbi Goldberg on cahoots, that it's a very tiny amount. So, which is to say, I don't know if they call it a chachila, but it's a, the amount that's in there is not enough to make the fish safe. Nobody requires people on the boat. No, there are people on the boats for other type of fish type products, not for tuna. Nobody that I know has.
What's the reason?